Today on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires.
Why did Jesus come? To save his people from their political problems? No. To save his people from a difficult unemployment issues? No. To save his people from illness? The reason Jesus came was to forgive his people of their sins. Jesus' help is eternal. However, Jesus' help may not change the immediate concerns I have in this moment.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. The birth of the Christ child was the fulfillment of many Old Testament prophecies, and not the least of those was that he shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And the gift of God's Son, born to a young virgin, wasn't meant to merely signify the very first Christmas, but something much more valuable. Jesus was and is the hope of salvation, the gift of eternal life. Here's Pastor Greg.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And as we learn from reading in Matthew chapter 1, Emmanuel means God with us. So we are going to receive a sign. And this sign is that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and he will be God with us. What is a sign? If you're driving down a freeway, a sign tells you what exit you might want to take. In-N-Out Burgers, next right. That's a sign from God, taking this exit. A sign might be something that you look for. You're out and about and you're not sure where you ought to go to the store. Am I going to shop here or there? And you drive and one has a full parking lot and one is empty. You say, well, I'll take the one that's a sign from God to shop here where I can easily find a parking spot. A sign here in Scripture is not just an indication of what ought to be done. A sign here in Scripture is telling us what God is doing. And what we have to understand about this sign from God in particular is this is a good sign from God that God is with us. And we're going to look in Scripture at the birth of Christ and understand what God is trying to communicate to us through this good sign, Jesus with us. Jesus is God with us. Think about it this way. Maybe you'll see on a television a large building project that is completed, maybe a large shopping center or an amusement park or a sports arena, and you will see a dedication ceremony where dignitaries and of the building company and from the ownership group and from the local political big mucky mucks, I think is the title, they will cut the ribbon and everybody will be let in. And you'll notice about the CEO of the company that owns said development, he shows up on the day it's dedicated. But where was he when the drywall was being installed? Probably in the Caribbean somewhere, right? So this is what's interesting about these kinds of projects. The CEO shows up when it's done, and it's looking good, and all the real heavy lifting is done. All that's left is cutting the ribbon. But this is not how Jesus works. Jesus is God with us in the midst of the work not being done yet. He's not showing up at the end once we've got our act together. Jesus is a good sign because he is God with us in the worst of times. Jesus is a good times because he is God with us in the worst of times for the best of reasons. Look over at Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, and this is where the New Testament authors reference this prophecy from the book of Isaiah. This is what it says. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill the prophet. What is this, all this, that took place? Well, we have to go back to verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. And it says this, the birth of Christ took place in this way. And we're going to learn later, in this way, he fulfilled the prophecy. What's the thing that happened? Well, Mary was engaged to Joseph. Oh, love. Mary is engaged to Joseph, but they're not yet married, and they had not yet to come together in an intimate physical way as a married couple would. They weren't married yet, and so they had not yet had marital relations, but unfortunately for Mary, she was found to be pregnant. Mary and Joseph hadn't been together yet, and she was pregnant, and Joseph did the math. It wasn't complicated math for him to do. She's pregnant. She hasn't been with me, so therefore she has been with someone else. Therefore she is an adulteress. Long story short, he says, I'm not marrying her. I'm going to put her aside, although I'll do so quietly and not publicly. He didn't know that the child in her was not the result of union with a man. The child in her was the result of the work of the Holy Spirit. So she was not adulteress. She was being used by God to carry God himself to birth as a human. So Joseph was going to put her aside and divorce her and break off the engagement. And he has a dream, and an angel shows up to him and says this, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. If you and I were Joseph, we'd have some follow-up questions. That's good to hear. But what about my reputation? What about Mary's reputation? What about what people are saying? On these topics, the angel has nothing to say, because the angel doesn't care about these things. Joseph, take Mary. Don't be afraid to take her as your wife. She has been faithful to you, and God is being faithful to use her. Verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. A good sign. Jesus is God with us in the way in which he was born to us. Not into ideal circumstances, but rather into the most not ideal of circumstances. Broken engagements, unexplained pregnancies, times of trouble politically, times of great poverty for Mary and Joseph. When Jesus is finally born and has been born 8 days, they go to the temple to offer the customary offering when you have a boy. And the offering they offer is one that is given by the poorest of people. So we know that this is a very difficult situation that Jesus is being born into. And it's this kind of situation that Jesus is God with us. He is God amongst us. He is God in the midst of us and the troubles we have. He is God who commingles with us in the stresses and difficulties and brokenness of real life. Jesus is God with us because he gets it. He understands it. He knows what it's like to live in the most unideal of circumstances. So he is a good sign. Jesus is God with us. Not God with us when everything's great. God with us when everything's the opposite of great, which is exactly what Mary had and Joseph had to deal with, what they had to face. Look at the two names that Jesus is given. He is given the name Jesus, Savior. He is going to save his people from their sins. He is going to provide hope, not primarily from problems, but hope from the problem, which is sin. And secondly, Emmanuel, God with us. So when we think of Christ, he did not come to save us from our sins by standing on some lofty hill and saying, come to me up here, get out of your muck, and come up to me up here, and I will save you. Instead, he jumps into the muck with us and says, I will save you from your sins while among you. And this is a good sign. Jesus is God with us, because his birth was extraordinary in the way that it was ordinary, and his birth was not a wholly sanitized birth. He was not born in a church. He was not born into the hands of a priest and set on a priestly throne and coddled from the young age of a boy in a temple or in a palace. Instead, he was born in the most humble of circumstances, to the most humble of parents in the worst of times, that he might be our Savior, who is God with us. A good sign. Jesus is God with us. Quick question here before we move on to the second sign. In all our efforts to know God, in all our efforts to find God, and think of all the efforts you have made to know God and to find God. And you say, well, what are you talking about? A couple of ideas here. Maybe every now and then you do something you regret. No one here? Okay. It's going to be awkward then. Every now and then you do something and you really blow it. You really blow it. The kind of thing you said, boy, if that was in the paper, I'd have to move. And so what you then do is a whole series of things to try and make yourself feel better. Okay, I'm going to read my Bible every day now. Boy, and I'm going to pray all the time in my car. I'm not turning that devil's music on. And you know, I'm going to witness to my coworker that your coworkers all know when you did something really bad that weekend because you show up on Monday and share Jesus with them as a penance. Your coworkers don't want to be your penance. All these things. What, I'm going to be nice to my family now because whatever it might be. So we do all of these things to try and overcome our sense of guilt and shame and our effort to know God and connect with God. And have we ever considered that He came to us? We're not trying to get to Him. When He was born to Joseph and Mary, He was sending us this clear message. Your efforts to find Him are lame. At best, better, let Him find you. Because He is God with us even in the midst of our brokenness and our frailty and even in our sin. He is God with us. He came to find us in our sin, to save us from our sin, and to know us. I know it's church. You're going to act like you believe me. But whether or not you believe me is what you think of when you go to bed at night. Your head hits pillow and you think about all of Monday morning's problems. Right? Here we go. From the book of Isaiah. Ahaz thinks the solution to his military problems and his real world problems are military and real world solutions. God, through the prophet, tells Ahaz, no, you've missed it. You don't need solutions. You need the presence of God in your problems. And you're asking it. I may as well ask it for you. So does that mean the problems will get fixed? Absolutely not. But we get God's presence in the problems. Look at Mary and Joseph. When Joseph finally trusted God and said, okay, I'll marry her, even though she's pregnant, and I will not even have relationships with her while married until she has the baby. And he says, okay, I've got God's presence in the midst of my problems. Did all his problems get better? No, they got markedly worse. The baby was born. Herod then tried to kill all the babies. So they had to flee to Egypt. Then when they came back from Egypt, they discover Herod's relative was in charge. And so now they had to settle in Nazareth. His problems didn't get better with the presence of God. His problems got worse. But what did he have in those challenges? The presence of God. So you've got to decide here. Are we Ahaz? I like God when He fixes stuff. Or are we Joseph? I like God. Period. That's the great question that faces us today. Do I like God when He fixes stuff? Or do I just like God? And that's what Jesus is a good sign of. Jesus is a sign of real hope that God will be present with us in the worst of times. The question is whether or not we want that. Do we want the presence of God, or do we just simply want our difficulties fixed? That's a fair question. Ahaz's answer was this: you can keep God, I'll take my solutions. A good sign. Jesus is real hope because His presence is guaranteed in the midst of the real difficulties of our life. Jesus is real hope. So here's something you can jot down or you can memorize or you can just be annoyed with. Are you ready? The enemy of hope is self-sufficiency. The enemy of hope is self-sufficiency. The reality of hope is God is with us because we're not self-sufficient. The person today who has no fixes for their problems has the more advantaged position over the person who has really good solutions to their problems. The person who finds themselves in a place where they got no answers and the only answer left is to seek God, they have the privileged position. Because it is them who will seek God because they got no other options. The challenge is for most of us who we have real challenges we face And we got some halfway decent answers. We got some halfway decent solutions. And we think that will suffice over the presence of God. If all of your problems were fixed today, you would not have more hope. If they all went away, every one of those issues, you would not have more hope. The only source of hope is God Himself. If it takes real world, tough stuff problems to drive us to seek God for hope, we have gained immensely. And if we will seek God more so in problems, then we ought to pray to God, send me more problems, that I might find my hope in you alone. The enemy of hope is self-sufficiency. And the reality of hope is that God is with us because we are needy. A good sign. Jesus is God with us, and Jesus is real hope. Finally, let's look at Jesus' solution briefly. Jesus' solution. Number one, it never ends. It deals with our real problem, and it is on us. We're going to go back over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew 1, 21. She, that is Mary, will bear a son, and you'll give his name Jesus, which means Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. When you get injured, generally you want the pain to stop. When you get injured, you want the pain to stop. There's a number of things that you can do to make the pain stop. When you injure yourself, you will yell out something. I don't know what your something of choice is. But you will yell out something as a means to making the pain go away. You will then take maybe pain medication. And maybe you will wash that down with other kinds of pain medication. That's between you and the Lord. You're just trying to deal with the pain. But it just might be that treatment of the injury is more urgent than dealing with the pain of the injury. It just might be that the pain is not going to go away till the injury itself is properly dealt with, and dealing with pain is weeks or months down the road. That there's going to have to be maybe surgery. There's going to have to be maybe healing. There's going to have to be maybe dealing with an infection. And pain is not the immediate problem. The immediate problem is the injury itself. And when the injury itself is dealt with, then over time, perhaps, pain will be dealt with. And this is Jesus' call to us. Jesus is a good sign because Jesus is eternal salvation. He did not come to merely deal with our immediate problems, our immediate pains. Look at what it says in verse 21. Jesus will save his people from their sins. Why did Jesus come? To save his people from their political problems. No. To save his people from difficult unemployment issues. No. To save his people from illness. Why, didn't he heal people? I'll mess with you now. You realize he didn't heal all the lepers in Israel. Does it bother you? Do you have any kind of information that indicates that he healed all the lepers in Israel? He also raised some people from the dead. Lazarus, for example. Has anybody met Lazarus? That means he died again. I personally only want to do it once. I don't know if being raised from the dead is, hey, you're raised from the dead. Wait a minute, I got to do that again? That was painful. He was sick for days and days and days. Then he dies, raised from the dead. Well, Lord, take me by a train wreck, please. You say, well, Jesus didn't come to for mercy just to help sick people be healthy and blind people see and deaf people see and mute people speak and cast out demons? No, all of those were signs to indicate he could forgive sins. The reason Jesus came was to forgive his people of their sins. Jesus' help is forever. Jesus' help is eternal. However, Jesus' help may not change the immediate concerns I have in this moment. You and I have a significant number of problems and worries that we face today and tomorrow, don't we? And Jesus forgives sins. Yay, okay, well, my list of problems is the same. And the question we have to ask ourselves, Jesus' salvation is eternal. Do I want eternal salvation, or do I want this week to be less stressful? Which one matters to me more? The challenge the people of Israel faced when Jesus is alive, the challenge you and I face today, is we want this week to be less stressful more than we want forgiveness of sins. God was with us in the garden before we sinned. God was with us in the garden after Adam and Eve sinned. Notice, after they ate the forbidden fruit from the forbidden tree, God came into the garden and in the cool of the day to walk with them and hang out. Where was Adam? He was the one hiding from God in his shame and in his guilt. God is the one who is seeking to be with us. We are the ones who hide from him in our shame. All throughout Scripture, God has promised to be with us. In Genesis chapter 3, he tells the woman, "Your seed will crush the serpent's head." He makes a promise to Abraham, "The entire world will be blessed through your offspring," which in the end is Jesus. He makes a promise to David saying, "On your throne, your son will sit for all time." And then he makes a promise to us about the relationship we can have with God in Jeremiah 31, 31. I'm going to read it. And this is what it says, Jeremiah 31, 31. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity." That's a fancy word for sin. "I will remember their sin no more." What is the message of God? He is saying, "I am with you, and my aim is to deal with your problem," which is a sin problem, a rebellion problem, a shame problem, a relationship that's broken problem, where God has been cast aside by you and me. And God has promised to make a way for that relationship to be restored. And it is in that relationship with God restored that we find life that will never end. And it is a free gift of God to give us eternal life in Christ Jesus. It costs us nothing but faith. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 5. "This is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son," who is Jesus. "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." It never ends. And eternal there is both length and richness. The way we receive it is simply by trusting Jesus to forgive us for our sin. It's that simple. But if you want Jesus to just fix your problems, number one, he didn't come to do it. And number two, you settled for too little.
Pastor Greg Spires has been reminding us of the reason for the season and all that God's gift to man, the gift of his Son, has afforded us by way of his plan of salvation and eternal life with him. And you're listening to Lasting Hope. And we invite you to join us next time, as there's much more to come from this look at the Gospel of Matthew. And by the way, this and many of Pastor Greg's messages are also available for listening online at lastinghope.org. You know, as we enter the Christmas season, there are still many families in the Southern Oregon community, along with areas around Oregon, that have been impacted by the wildfires this year. For example, during the Alameda fire in September, hundreds of homes were lost, and as many as 3,000 of our fellow citizens were displaced. If you'd like to help support the efforts of recovery, we have a place on our Lasting Hope website where you can donate directly to this effort. Just go to lastinghope.org and click on the link that says Wildfire Recovery. Every dollar you donate will go directly to meeting the needs of the victims recovering from the devastating effects of the Alameda fire in Southern Oregon. Again, just go to lastinghope.org and click on the link, Wildfire Recovery. Also, the FBC family would like to invite you to join us for an Advent devotional journey through the story of Christ with a 30-minute live stream program that begins at 7 o'clock this Thursday, December 10th. It's a festive and informative program that features Christmas carols, children's crafts, and a short Christmas message. It all leads up to our outdoor Christmas Eve service. You can find out more when you go to lastinghope.org. That's lastinghope.org. And if you don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC at 9:30 and 11 a.m. each Sunday. We'll also continue to stream our services online at lastinghope.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue our look at Advent. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.